Hate is one of the most misunderstood emotions. And the simplest way that you can look at hate is actually a combination of two things that we kind of already have a good understanding of, and that's anger plus aggression. You're listening to the Bear in Mind podcast, episode 169.
A podcast that breaks it down so you can break the cycle for good. Now, your host, Tara Rama, but you can call her T.
I'm talking about hate because we don't talk about hate. We think that we do by seeing it, and then what do we automatically do? We don't want to hear it. We don't want that person to tell us about it. We turn it off if it's on our device. We don't want to look at hate. And I'm here to tell you that looking at hate will actually prevent hateful actions. So when we look at emotions like this, they're usually broken down into simpler emotions, so anger and aggression. And anger, how I define it, is something that's happening that you don't want. It's something that's happening to yourself. It's the breakdown of some sort of boundary. It can be physical boundary, and it can also be a mental boundary, your sense of self. So something is happening to you that you don't want it to happen, or something did happen to you and you didn't want it to happen. And aggression here, how I'm going to define it, is imposing your will on someone or something else. So you can see how those two go together. Anger is something that happened that you didn't want, and then you go about trying to impose your will or what you want onto someone or something. And here's the question about hate. If we hate somebody, why don't we just walk away? Because if you notice, if we're just kind of annoyed by somebody or dislike somebody, we kind of ignore them, move away, maybe don't sit next to them in a group. When you're meeting friends, you're like, you sit on the other side of the table, you just move away and you let it go. You don't want to be around this person. You kind of set some sort of boundary around it. But notice that hate is the exact opposite. There is that focus to it on that other person, or in some cases, group of people. And it's that focus, and the focus comes from that anger. Anger is an emotion that creates focus for us. So we become laser focused on this person. And I'm not really going to talk about group hate when we hate a group of people like women or people of color. That is actually stemming from displaced hatred. When the hate is so repressed that it evolves into now it's a group. So often misogyny, the hatred of women, comes from the hatred of their mother. So a man hates their mother, and it's repressed. Because if you notice in society, in almost every culture, hating your mother is not acceptable. It's not something you can go around saying and vocally expressing, oh, I hate my mom. I hate my mom. She didn't protect me from my dad who used to beat me. That's often where misogyny comes from, a group of people. So women, misogyny, that's displaced hatred. So I'm going to focus more on where we focus our attention on that one person we hate in our lives, and we want to somehow do something to them, aggress something to them. And it could be name calling. It doesn't necessarily have to be physical violence. It could be putting them down. It could come from some sort of way you talk to them that's coming from hatred. Notice how much you are focusing on that person, because that is how you can know that it's hate. Because if you really kind of just dislike to someone, you'd walk away from them at a party. You wouldn't bother to really engage with them in conversation. And it may seem like talking about hate is not linked to breaking the cycle. And I think for some of us that have gone through some trauma, hate does come up, but it often gets repressed. And looking at that hatred, it can actually do one of the most brilliant things for you. It'll help you see inside yourselves. Hate is one of those emotions that reveals your own mind to you. It reveals actually what you want in life. Because the reason why you're so focused and you're wanting to aggress on that person is essentially, and I'm simplifying this from readings that I've done, and also I've talked about this book, The Language of Emotions, Carla McLaren, she talks about hatred. I've taken some of this stuff, and when I've read stuff on, they call it the shadow part of the brain. And a lot of times we don't know it's there, it's our subconscious, and it can tell us what we really want in our lives. That's why it goes hand in hand with anger. And we're thinking that that person, we need to impose something on them. And what really it is about is that they have something we want. And I'll give you an example. In one of my old friends, there was a group of us, and there was a friend in this group that I started to really dislike, and then it became hatred. Now, this is hindsight. I didn't know at the time that it was hatred, and I can tell you it was because I was so focused on her, and my mental energy went towards her. And so I realized when I started reading about this and I started combing through past relationships to learn more about my emotional landscape, I realized she had something that I desired. Everybody in our group loved her. And here I was thinking, she's always playing the victim. She's always using people. And these are my thoughts. They're my opinions, not necessarily true. And I didn't like how she was treating people, me included, but also other people. But yet everyone loved her. I mean, they were even saying such great things about her constantly. And I think deep down, I wanted that. I wanted that kind of adoration that, hey, I'm a pretty good friend too. I'm pretty cool too. And so even understanding something as simple as this, that you're focusing on someone, you maybe have somewhat of aggression thoughts towards them. And it can be something mild, like Schadenfreude, where you want something not so nice to happen to them. Their bike gets a flat tire or something. It doesn't even have to be as violent as what we see in the news. But it could be thoughts like that, and you're spending a lot of your mental energy on that person. It's worth looking at it because it will open up so much of your subconscious and say, hey, I really want this. And then you have ownership of that. Oh, I really want to be well-liked. And then you can do something about that. And we may be holding on to hatred of people, and it can look like resentment, because resentment is very much tied to hatred, because it's ongoing anger, and then eventually can become some sort of aggression that you decide to take against that person. Again, maybe not physical, but maybe it's more in the lines of verbal. So looking at people that you've focus on negatively and not trying to push that away, because you may be repressing some of that resentment, some of that hatred that could really open up and even release it. Now, I'm not saying jump to forgiveness. That's not what I mean. What I mean is move through that hatred. And as I always say, allow it, because it's the repression of hatred that leads to us acting in ways that we don't want to act in. It then leads to displacing that hatred to groups of people. And so if you can look at where all of that mental energy is focused on, that negative energy on that person, it could be a person from the past, it could be a person that you're dealing with today. It could reveal something about you. And the way to kind of bring that up is, what is it that they're doing in their lives that you find that bothers you? How are they existing? Because their very existence, how they're living, is maybe telling you something about how you want to live. And I'm going to bring up on the last minute of this is to talk about, if you have kids and they talk about hating someone, hating you, and that repressing that hatred, because we often tell children, and I hear this, that that's not a word that we should be using. Like, hate is a bad word. And hate is an emotion. And so repressing it in children and not allowing it to kind of surface and be there and hearing them out and guiding them through this emotional experience that they have no understanding of. They're focusing on somebody and they're not liking this person, and it's continuous. Repressing it and not allowing that can lead to them holding on to a part of them that gets hidden away from what they really want in their life. And I think that when we ask that question, like, do you want a part of your child to be hidden away from you? Most parents would say, no, I want to see all of my child. I want to see everything. I want to know them. And knowing your child comes through knowing some of their negative emotions, understanding them and helping them through that, and not saying, hey, hate is wrong, we don't use that word. And it's something to think about because it is existent. It exists in our lives. So the actual word of deciding that maybe they shouldn't be saying that, it's something to think about. A little food for thought there is that we're trying to have them not say this word of something that does very much exist. Because there are people that hate. We are humans. And there are plenty of examples. There's also plenty of examples of kindness. There's also plenty of examples of hate in this world. And I often think if we don't repress some of the hatred that we feel as we start to develop our own emotional psyche and get to understand it and develop our emotional maturity, how much less active hate there would be in this world. That's all I have for you this week. I'll check back with you next.
Thanks for listening. Listen for a new episode next Tuesday by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Bye for now.